The following podcast was made possible by the sponsorship of Teresa Leong Lee and by Catholic Digital Resources, where you can find downloadable faith formation resources and evangelization tools. Visit Catholic Digital Resources at CatholicDR.com to build your own faith and the faith of others. That's CatholicDR.com.
Good News Ministries of GNM.org presents Footsteps to Heaven. Life's a journey full of challenges. Sometimes we get stalled. Sometimes we get sidetracked. When we walk with Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit to the destination that God the Father designed for us, the results are better than we could ask for or imagine. And now, here is your host, Terry Modica.
In part two on the series about going deeper into the Mass, we're going to cover the penitential rite. Because this is so important, such an important part of the Mass, we need to not underestimate it. We tend to rush through it rather quickly. It doesn't take up much time during the Mass, but yet it is one of the most important parts of the Mass, and I'm going to explain why. First of all, keep in mind that the Catholic Mass is a celebration of our union with God, first and foremost, but that's not all, and we're going to get into that. But first, think about this, our union with God the Father. How much love do you need from the Father? How much more love do you need from God the Father that you're not feeling yet? Mass is a celebration of that union that God wants to have with you. It's also a celebration of our union with God the Son, Jesus our Savior. And that's rather obvious because we come to Mass to receive Jesus in the Eucharist. And yes, we know that is something worth celebrating. But it's also a celebration of our union with God the Holy Spirit, who empowers us to become the saints that God the Father designed us to be, the saints that Jesus suffered and died for us to become. Did you know you are called to be a saint? Sainthood is not just for the Padre Pios of this world and the John Paul the Great, Mother Teresa of Calcutta. Think about your favorite saint. Think about the saint that you were named after when you received baptism or the sacrament of confirmation. Why was that saint assigned to you? It's no accident. That saint is your patron saint for a reason, and that saint is helping you become a saint too. You are called to become a saint. When you were baptized, you were set free from the original sin of Adam and Eve. You were redeemed from the control that Satan has over your life, the control that comes from being sinners. You were set free to become the saint. You were designed to be a saint. We are happiest when we are doing what we were designed to do, when we are being who we were designed to be. Therefore, as good as sin sometimes feels, and really, we wouldn't sin if it didn't feel good, if it didn't feel right. But when we really get into looking at it, choosing the path of sainthood is choosing to be who we really are. And this is what gives us the greatest joys, the greatest blessings, the greatest happiness, the greatest sense of fulfillment. The Catholic Mass is meant to be a celebration of our sainthood. And it's meant to help us become the saints that God designed us to be. When you're celebrating Mass, does it look like a celebration? When people visit for the first time your parish, do they realize they are entering into a celebration? Do we sound like we're celebrating? For example, how many people in your parish sing and sing well, sing, and I don't mean well as on key, I mean as in heartily, full-heartedly singing because it's a celebration. Do we actually celebrate the idea of holiness during Mass and outside of Mass as well? If we aren't celebrating our sainthood, our call to holiness outside of Mass, then we're certainly not going to celebrate it inside of Mass without being a hypocrite. But, you know, hey, we're all hypocrites. But a hypocrite who is pursuing holiness It's somebody to hang around with. You know, there's a lot of people out there who say that they don't want to go to a church because it's full of hypocrites. Well, a hypocrite who wants to grow in holiness and to become who God designed them to be, the saint he designed them to be, is a hypocrite worth hanging around. Let me ask you this. If you're not experiencing Mass as a celebration, what's missing? We can point our fingers easily at other people to decide what's missing in the celebratory nature of Mass. We can point at the priest and say he doesn't smile when he's, you know, doing anything up there at the altar, or, you know, his homilies are dull, or the music is not well done, or whatever. What's missing in you, though? Because even when liturgies are dull, even when the music sounds more like a funeral dirge than a celebration of love and life in Christ, Jesus is still present. The Father is still holding you in the palm of his hand. And the Holy Spirit is still able to speak to your heart and enliven your worship. If something seems missing in your celebration of the Mass, get more deeply in touch with what God is doing inside of you, regardless of the circumstances going on outside of you. That is true worship. That is true union with God. Union with God requires union with our brothers and sisters in the faith. This is why, as I covered in the previous episode of this series on the Mass, why we begin Mass with a gathering, an opening song, and rites that begin the unification process. And it culminates with the Eucharist, becoming one with, by receiving, Jesus' body and blood, to become one with Jesus and with his earthly body, which is the community of the church. We are, as a community, the church on earth, we are the earthly body of Christ. Therefore, when we receive Jesus in the Eucharist, his body and blood in the Eucharist, we are also unifying ourselves with the earthly body of Christ. And the penitential rite is helping us to get to that point. To become truly unified to God and with each other, so that we can truly celebrate during the Mass and experience the fullness of God's love, we need to enter into it with a pre-existing unity with God and with the church. I'm going to explain that further. But first, think about this. In reality, every day we do things that are not done in union with God and not done in union with the church. Because Jesus is present in the community, in each other, we need forgiveness for the unloving things that we have done to each other. And by each other, I mean anyone at all, anyone, anywhere, all children of God. Therefore, our sins, anything that is unloving, anything that we need forgiveness for, our sins, because they divide us from God and from each other, must first be absolved prior to receiving the Eucharist. The penitential rite absolves venial sins, not mortal sins. If the division is minor and is easily overcome, if our sins are easily overcome by a decision to, you know what, I really am sorry, I committed this sin, and I don't want to do this sin anymore, then we call that a venial sin. The penitential rite that we do right after the gathering song absolves us of venial sins. That is, if we are paying attention and consciously and deliberately seeking God's forgiveness. If we go through the penitential rite rotely without bringing to mind our sins, without coming prepared, and we do need to prepare ahead of time because we don't have much time at this point in the Mass. We are not given much time to do an examination of conscience. We need to come to Mass having done an examination of conscience already and having labeled before the Lord in our hearts the sins that we want to get rid of in the penitential rite, the sins that we want forgiveness for in the penitential rite. But if the division has gone on for so long and is so stubborn and it's so significant and goes so deep that our souls have been in danger of losing the eternal life that Jesus died to obtain for us, that is a mortal sin. If it's killing our souls, it is a mortal sin. If it is so thoroughly dividing ourselves from God, which includes dividing ourselves from other people so thoroughly, because what we do unto others, we do unto Jesus. He tells us that in Matthew 25. If the sin is something that we have been unable to come by our own willpower and we need supernatural help, supernatural grace to overcome it, these are reasons why we need to go to the sacrament of confession before going to Mass. We need the sacrament of reconciliation. Confession is called reconciliation for a reason. We need the sacrament of reconciliation so that we can approach the Eucharist, Jesus in the Eucharist, reconciled, reunited, in other words, to the Lord and to the Church. Because, as God warns us in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 27 through 29, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Each one must examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. Now, what does it mean to not recognize the body? This scripture, St. Paul here, talking to the Corinthians, is talking about recognizing, first of all, the presence of Jesus truly there in the Eucharist. But more than that, the body is all of us, the whole earthly body of Christ on earth. If we don't recognize our unity, if we don't recognize Jesus in the Eucharist and our unity with each other, and we don't recognize the importance of having Jesus and receiving Jesus in the Eucharist, and the importance of being in unity with each other, if we don't recognize this, we are eating and drinking judgment on ourselves. We are saying, in effect, God, I'm sinning and I don't care. Go ahead, pass your judgment on me. Do you know who goes to hell? People who do not want to spend eternity with God. In other words, people who want to do things their own way because they don't want to be reconciled with God. I know you don't want that. I know I don't want that. This is why we need to take this penitential rite at the beginning of Mass very seriously. Let's go into what happens during the penitential rite, specifically. The presiding priest first asks us to recall our sins. We need to examine our consciences, like I said, before we come to Mass, or we will miss an important opportunity to experience the presence of Jesus in His forgiving mercy. The presiding priest leads us to God's forgiveness. Let me show you how. He starts out by saying, "Brothers and sisters, let us acknowledge our sins and so prepare ourselves to receive the sacred mysteries." There's supposed to be a brief pause here, but never is it long enough to do a thorough examination of conscience. We need to do that ahead of time. I'm stressing that because this is so important, so critical to having a successful and celebratory experience of Mass. Then there are three different options the priest has in leading us through the penitential rite. The first one is, I think, the best. It's the longest. I think it's the deepest. We say, with the priest, "I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done and what I have failed to do." Let me pause there. It used to bother me to say that I have greatly sinned when all I could think of was some small venial sins that I've committed since the last time I'd been to Mass or to confession. But in fact, everything we do that is unloving, everything we do that divides ourselves from God in even the smallest way, is a great sin. We are greatly sinning with even the smallest sins because it hurts our relationship with God. And God grieves over that. Any sin that we commit against others hurts them, and God grieves over that as well. Have you ever been a parent grieving over a child who has disobeyed and continues, despite your warnings, despite, you know, raising them with, you know, punishing them for their wrongdoings and trying to set them on the right track, and yet they go and do something that you know is hurting their lives because they are doing it the wrong way? How much grief do you feel when that happens? God the Father grieves over our sins, even the smallest ones, way more than we will ever grieve over our own children. So yes, I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done and in what I have failed to do. A good examination of conscience includes, what did I fail to do that the Lord was calling me to do? What have I failed to do that would have been Christ-like had I done it? Then we strike our breasts saying, through my fault, through my fault, through my most grievous fault. By saying this three times, through my fault, we're saying, yes, yes, yes. I acknowledge this. This is important. Through my most grievous fault? This means we are deeply sorry over even the smallest sin. And then we continue, therefore I ask Blessed Mary, ever virgin, and all the angels and saints, that includes your guardian angel, and you, my brothers and sisters, in other words, hey, look, here's more community stuff. Here's more uniting ourselves together as community. We are asking for the prayers of our brothers and sisters. And because we are saying this prayer together now, and the priest is going to conclude this penitential rite on our behalf, this request is being answered. Our community is praying for each other. You are praying for your brothers and sisters. Your brothers and sisters are praying for you. I hope you're conscious of this. Because then the priest says, may Almighty God, and this is the prayer that we are doing for one another, may Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life. The second option the priest has in leading us through the penitential rite is, he says first, on our behalf, or with us, in unity with us, have mercy on us, O Lord. And we reply, for we have sinned against you. And the priest, on our behalf, says, show us, O Lord, your mercy, to which we reply in unison, and grant us your salvation. Notice that the first option was, I have sinned. The second one is, we have sinned. We are acting here as a community. We are acknowledging that we are a community. This is building or rebuilding our unity with the body of Christ. The third option is, or the priest says, the priest prays, you were sent to heal the contrite of heart. Lord, have mercy. To which we reply, Lord, have mercy. Then he says, you came to call sinners, Christ have mercy, to which we reply, Christ have mercy. And then the priest says, you are seated at the right hand of God, the Father, to intercede for us, to which we reply, Lord, have mercy. In this case, the focus is on God's mercy. We are contrite of heart, which is why the priest starts out with telling Jesus that you were sent to heal the contrite of heart. And we, by saying, Lord, have mercy, are acknowledging that we are contrite of heart. Now, often I've seen priests invite people to go to confession after Mass. During Mass, there's the invitation that the confessional will be open afterwards. Why? Why in the world is this done? It's not supposed to be done after Mass. We need confession before Mass. Otherwise, if we're going to go to confession after Mass, we had better not receive the Eucharist during Mass, especially if we have sinned in ways that have been killing our souls, the mortal sins. If we have sinned only in less destructive ways, the venial sins, the penitential rite during Mass does absolve us of these, and there is no need to go to confession after Mass then. That is, if it's only venial sins that we need to be forgiven for. The sacrament of confession and the penitential rite restore our unity with God and with the Church, with each other, in other words, so that we can receive the Eucharist rightly. so that we can be mystically and fully united to Christ and all that He offers us. All the love of the Father, all the help and all the guidance of the Holy Spirit, all the miracles that Jesus promised when He said in John 15, verse 7, "If you remain in Me and My words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you." This is Holy Communion with God. Have you ever wondered why we call the Eucharist Holy Communion? Communion means union with God and with the earthly body of Christ. It's an intrinsic, built-in, essential requirement of the Eucharist, that it be celebrated in unity as a body of believers. Mass is not a private affair. It's not worship between me and God alone, for that's only partial unity. And you know what? Partial unity is not a unity at all. The gathering of people for Mass does not exist for convenience. We don't get together at a certain time in a certain place because it's, well, easier on the priest's schedule to do it at that certain time and certain place. He can't come to all of our homes. No, we gather because the Eucharist is our union with everyone who comes to Mass. Communion also means union with the Church and the Church's teachings. Mass is not a celebration of self-defined morality. Satan is delighted when we divide ourselves from the Church and thus from God by deciding for ourselves what is right and what is wrong. The three basic principles of Satan worship, the actual religion of Satanism, are these three things. Does any of it sound familiar? You can do all that you wish. No one has the right to command you, and you are a god of yourself. You are the god of yourself. You decide what's right and wrong, in other words. That's Satan worship. That's the agenda that Satan worshipers have been infecting our world with, and even our church. Look at how much of these three principles are being embraced by people in the world around you. How much of it has infiltrated into the church? How much have we ourselves adopted a pick-and-choose morality, doing only what feels good to us? The Eucharist is our union with all the moral teachings of the church. These teachings have been passed down to us since the first apostles who received them from Jesus Christ Himself. Whenever we choose to disobey a teaching of the church, whether it's something like getting remarried after being divorced and never getting an annulment that proves that the first marriage was invalid, or whether it's choosing to use artificial birth control because we don't want to have any kids or many kids, you know, as many kids as God might want for us, or whether it's that marriage is between one man and one woman, and whether it's the church's teaching about sex outside of marriage is a sin. All these teachings and other teachings that make us uncomfortable, that make us think that the church is being mean to us by constricting us, by telling us how to live our lives, and we don't want that. All of this rejection of church teaching is a major division from the church. It's majorly doing what Satan wants us to do. The Eucharist is the cure for that because it brings us back into unity with the church and with each other, and therefore with Jesus. But to get to the Eucharist rightly, worthily, we need the penitential rite or confession before Mass. The church's teachings, the church's code of canon law, all these things that rub us the wrong way sometimes because we want to do things our own way, they are not designed to give us a hard time, to make our lives unhappy. They are designed to protect us so that we do not receive God's judgment against our sinfulness when we receive the Eucharist. When the church says that we are not supposed to receive communion, we're not supposed to receive Jesus in the Eucharist, if we are in a state of sin, ongoing sin, the church is protecting us from receiving God's judgment. So you see, it's extremely important that we prepare for Mass by making a good examination of conscience. How have you divided yourself from God by behaving in any way that is not Christ-like? How have you divided yourself from any person by being unloving to him or her? How have you divided yourself from your parish community by not joining them each week in Mass, or by refusing to get involved in a parish ministry that God has gifted you to be able to do? How have you divided yourself from the church by choosing to ignore what it has been taught about faith and morals? And now that you have remembered your sins, what are you going to do about it? Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, enlighten me. Come, Holy Spirit, show me the path of holiness. Come, Holy Spirit, renew me. Come, Holy Spirit, fill me. Come, Holy Spirit, you have my permission to change me. Come, Holy Spirit, help me to become truly united to you and God the Father and Jesus Christ. Amen. This podcast was made possible by supporters of Good News Ministries who hope to strengthen and build your faith. If this episode speaks to your heart, then I ask you to pass it along to your family and friends. Share it on Facebook and Twitter. Forward it by text and email. And let us know what the Holy Spirit is doing in your life. How has this episode made a difference? You can contact me through the Good News Ministries website at gnm.org or by texting me if you are one of our subscribers on WhatsApp. May I ask a favor of you? Please cover this life-changing podcast ministry in your daily prayers. And if you can, help me continue making these podcasts by becoming a sponsor. Any donation is helpful, but we are especially seeking sponsors for upcoming episodes.
You've been listening to Terry Modica of Good News Ministries. For more faith builders, or to learn more about this ministry, come visit our website at gnm.org. You'll find online resources and lots more to help you know the Father's love and grow closer to Christ and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Visit gnm.org today.